This is what the Spirit said by the hand of David, Psalm 52. To the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. This past week, in a brutal miscarriage of justice, all charges were dropped against the former police officer who shot Philando Castile 7 times while he sat in his car, while his girlfriend and daughter watched helplessly from the back seat. His only offense, he reached for his gun permit. Also this past week, Otto Warmbier died after being released in a comatose state from a North Korean prison, where he was, as all evidence suggests, severely tortured by the North Korean government. His crime? He moved a political sign. This week in Virginia, the remains of a 17-year-old girl named Nabra Hassanin were found in a pond after having been severely beaten. Her crime? She and her friends were walking down the street, inadvertently blocking traffic, and a 22-year-old with road rage decided he had had enough. This week, more Christians were murdered in the Middle East for being Christians. This week, our government threatened to deport Iraqi Christians to Iraq, an injustice that will almost certainly result in their deaths if not prevented. Last week, alone in America, more than 65,000 children were victims of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Brothers and sisters, evil is being continually perpetuated against the human race. And evil is being continually perpetuated against the human race by people who see themselves and their interests as superior to others. And thinking themselves superior, they are willing to do whatever to whomever in order to advance their own agenda. Perhaps you've been the victim of injustice. Maybe it wasn't such an extreme, obvious case of evil as those I mentioned a moment ago, but it was injustice just the same. At some point, someone slandered you to get ahead. They lied about you in order to advance their own agenda. Maybe it was the thoughtless, hurtful words spoken by a spouse or friend in order to win an argument that cut you like a sharp razor. And then again, maybe some of you have been the victims of blatant, obvious, heinous evil. You were abused and maligned and treated as an object in order to advance someone's own wicked satisfactions. If there is one common denominator between all the various degrees of evil we experience, it is surely this: evil hurts. Injustice hurts. Evil brings very real, very deep pain. And though sometimes years pass after evil has done its work, the pain can linger on. And so, church, when the pain of evil sets in, we need to know that God has an answer for it. We need to know that there is something in God that is greater than evil. That's why David wrote Psalm 52. David had experienced and witnessed unspeakable evil. The subscript of the psalm reminds us of the event. It says, "A maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Elimelech." It points us to the same story we looked at back in Psalm 34. It's a reference to 1 Samuel 21 and 22, where David flees for his life from King Saul and goes to priest Ahimelech in the city of Nob looking for food. The priest, unaware of the situation with Saul, offers David food and provisions, and David goes on his way. But that day in the city of Nob, there was a servant of Saul named Doeg the Edomite. And Doeg sees an opportunity for himself and thinks, "I'm going to hold on to this little bit of information until such a time as Saul gets so frustrated not being able to find David that he'll say, 'Anybody with information, come forward and I'll make you a rich and powerful man.'" And sure enough, as time passes, that's exactly what happens. Saul, in frustration, promises authority and wealth. And Doeg speaks up and tells Saul what he knows. But in revealing this to Saul, Doeg twists the truth, making it seem as if priest Ahimelech had intentionally hidden David from the king. Of course, when brought before the king, Ahimelech denies knowing anything about the situation with David, except that he had indeed given him food. But Saul doesn't listen and instructs his soldiers to kill the priest and his family. The soldiers know better. The soldiers know how God deals with workers of evil. They especially know what God does to those who revile a priest. They refuse the king, but not Doeg. Doeg takes up his sword and in a single day murders Ahimelech and all the priests at Nob, and then their wives, and then their children, and even all of their animals. In one day, Doeg the Edomite slaughters an entire village of 85 people, all to advance his own agenda of gaining money and power. One man named Abithar, one of Ahimelech's sons, escapes the slaughter and flees to David and recounts the story of Doeg's slanderous lies and murder. This psalm is the overflow of David's pain. Psalm 52 is how David dealt with unspeakable evil. And in Psalm 52, we learn what it is about God that is greater than the worst evil. Psalm 52 reveals God's answer to evil. "Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day." The steadfast love of God is God's answer to evil. Whatever evil you have experienced, no matter how heinous, no matter how grievous, no matter how much pain it caused or is still causing, there is more love in God than there is evil in the world. And that love doesn't stop being poured out on God's beloved. As deep as your pain reaches, God's love reaches all the deeper. As long as your pain endures, God's love endures all the longer. Remember Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. "I pray that you will know what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ." In Jesus, the love of God has been made known to us. and it is greater than we can ever imagine. It is God's love, His steadfast, unrelenting, unsurpassing love demonstrated in Jesus that gives us hope when evil strikes. As we study Psalm 52 this morning, I want to share with you seven truths about the steadfast love of God in hopes that you will come to see and understand how God's love is the answer to the evil in your life. What we learn first about God's steadfast love is that God's love is stronger than mighty men. Typically, when we think about mighty men in the Bible, we think of some of those great, strong men that we used to hear about in Sunday school, like Samson and Ehud. King David even had a group of soldiers, 30 soldiers, that he called his mighty men. They were kind of like his special bodyguard. Usually in Scripture, the title mighty man is a praiseworthy one, but not in Psalm 52. David is not paying a compliment to old Doeg here, not at all. David is mocking him. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? You're not mighty. You killed a bunch of defenseless priests and women and children. You're not a mighty man. You're a coward. Now, certainly Doeg thought of himself as a mighty man. After all, he had single-handedly carried out Saul's wicked order, and as a result had been granted power and wealth in Saul's kingdom. By all outward appearances, he was a mighty man. And isn't it true of people who have who use and abuse others to serve their own agenda? They think they're mighty. They think their wicked deeds give them power over people. And certainly, victims of evil deeds often see the perpetrators as mighty. Think of a child interacting with an abusive dad. He walks on eggshells and is afraid to speak. He chooses his words carefully, never wanting to set him off, because he's afraid of what that powerful man might do to him. But here's the point David is making. Didn't matter how much wealth and power Doeg had. It didn't matter what wicked thing he was willing to do to exert his power. Compared to the God of steadfast love, Doeg was nothing. There is no one mighty like the Lord. There is no wicked tyrant, abusive father, and no vile slanderer whose might is a match for God. You think you're mighty? David says. You think your evil deeds are going to get you somewhere? Think again, Doeg. I've got the steadfast love of God on my side. That's the good news of God's steadfast love when evil attacks. When you've got God's love, mighty men become small men. In light of God's love, the mighty who boast of evil lose all their power because they are seen for the weak, cowardly people they are. Rest in the strong love of God. The next truth about God's love is very important. In this psalm, we learn that God's love gets to the root of evil. I don't know if you've ever seen an episode of Scooby-Doo. But if you have, you'll know that every episode ends exactly the same way. In each episode, Scooby and the gang track some ghost or monster that has been terrorizing the town. And in every episode, the culprit is caught and unmasked. It is finally revealed who is at the center of all of the turmoil. Well, in Psalm 52, David unmasks the real culprit behind evil deeds. Did you hear what David said about Doeg in verses 3 and 4? You love evil more than good. You love all the words that devour. What we learn then in verse 7 is that the reason Doeg loved to do evil things, The reason he loved words that devour is because he loved the abundance of his riches. The reason Doeg could perform such evil was because his heart was ruled by disordered loves. Because he loved money and power, he loved anything that would get him money and power. What we learn in Psalm 52 is that evil is not an actions problem, it's a heart problem. Evil arises from a heart that loves wrong things. It doesn't matter what form evil takes, whether it's malicious as murder or as simple as slander, at its root, it is driven by disordered loves. The heart of one who does evil is ruled by something. It's living for something. It's loving something. In other places in Scripture, this is called idolatry. Whatever you love is the God you worship. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever you treasure, that is what your heart is loving and worshiping. Whatever takes over the top spot in your life, whatever it is that you center your life around, whatever it is that your life is geared toward getting, achieving, or protecting, that is your idol. And idolatry leads to evil. Like Doeg, evil people sin to get, and sin if they don't get it. But how, we wonder, did David know this? How was David able to discern that a disordered love in the heart of Doeg led him to so much evil? How did David come to learn that evil isn't an action problem, but a heart problem? David knew this because he had been introduced to a superior love. David had encountered the steadfast love of the Lord, and having encountered that love, he came to understand that the God of love is the only object worth loving. God deserves the top spot. God is the one whom we ought to center our lives around. He is the one we ought to worship. You see, church, when God reveals his love to you in Jesus, he shows you that the greatest problem is not just the sins you commit, but the heart that committed them. And then that same love begins to invade our evil hearts and reorder what we love. God's love pushes everything else down a notch or 10 and secures the top spot. That's what it means in verse 8 to trust in the steadfast love of God. Trusting in God's steadfast love means making God the object of your affections. It means refusing to allow false loves like the love of money to control the heart. Do you find yourself to be the kind of person who is tempted to use words that are like a sharp razor? Is there some other evil action you are prone to commit? The way you conquer that is not simply by stopping the action. It's by getting to the root and identifying what it is that you love that promotes you to speak that way or to do that wicked thing. And then you replace that love with the superior love of God in Christ. The third truth we learn about God's love here is that God's love promises justice. What else happened at the end of every Scooby-Doo episode? The culprit would get caught, and he would say, "I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids." Well, brothers and sisters, the promise of Psalm 52 is that the evil never get away with it. The promise of justice against evildoers is the central message of Psalm 52. Doeg has committed extremely evil acts that affected David and numerous other people. So David writes this psalm as a reminder that God will execute justice against the unrepentant workers of evil. That's why David says in verse 5, God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. That's strong language. David is saying here that God's love promises eternal retribution against unrepentant evil. God will break down the evildoer forever. There will be justice for the oppressed. The wicked will not escape God's justice. There will come a day when every worker of evil is rounded up and thrown into a lake of fire. And the message of God's promised justice is extremely important because so often from a human vantage point, it seems that the wicked go free. The RAIN organization that supports victims of rape and abuse estimates that out of every 1,000 rapes, 6 perpetrators will face jail time. 6 out of 1,000. So often it seems that the wicked go unpunished. But the promise of Psalm 52 is that if you have been the victim of evil, even heinous evil, the steadfast love of the Lord is on your side. If you are trusting in the steadfast love of God, you can be sure that even if no earthly justice comes for the perpetrator of evil, God will not allow His beloved to be deprived of justice. God will do battle for you. And since God will bring the evildoer to justice, you don't have to let your life be consumed with getting revenge or exacting justice yourself. Christianity has no room for vigilante justice. You don't have to spend your life in bitterness and anger wishing for justice. You can rest that because God promised it, it's as good as done. Isn't that what David says here? I thank you because you have done it. And let me remind you that in the coming of Jesus, the steadfast love of God has proven that justice for the oppressed is not just wishful thinking. God has a plan to do away with evil, and that plan is Jesus Christ, who will one day come as the judge. And on that day, no one will escape justice because God will reveal all wickedness and disordered loves, and He will not allow the guilty to go unpunished. If you are a victim of evil, take heart today in the steadfast love of God that promises to bring evildoers to justice. Fourth, consider that God's love satisfies the righteous. Verse 6, the righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at Doeg, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge. This verse follows verse 5, wherein David declares that God's judgment will break down and uproot evildoers. That's what the righteous see and fear and laugh at. As I said in the previous point, God's justice against the wicked is an expression of God's love to His children. Here's how one commentator put it. Tripper Longman said that our knowledge of God's justice provides personal assurance that God judges between the righteous and the wicked. God's love for the righteous expressed in judgment against evildoers is proof of God's love for you. So what we discover in verse 6 is that God's love expressed in judgment satisfies those who have experienced evil. They see God's judgment and they stand in awe of it and they laugh because of it. Now laughing here does not mean that the righteous are to be vindictive or malicious to evildoers. This is not prideful mockery. Rather, the laughter of the righteous is the overflow of joy we receive when justice is rendered. The idea here is that despite whatever evil may have taken place in your life, despite how unjustly and wickedly you may have been treated, you can be full of joy when you consider that the steadfast love of the Lord not only comforts the afflicted, but is also working on your behalf. But not only will God bring the wicked to justice, the righteous will be upheld. Verse 8, the righteous will be like a green olive tree. Olive trees are perhaps the longest living tree in the Middle East. They can live for hundreds of years. And year after year, they produce olives, a valuable commodity in the region. The point is that while God's love will destroy the wicked, the righteous will flourish like a green olive tree in the house of God. The wicked will perish. The righteous will live forever. The wicked may win for the moment, but the love of God will vindicate the righteous. Friend, if you are wrestling over some evil, some despair, if sadness and hurt are crippling you, look to the love of God. Believe the promise that justice belongs to God and that He will not allow the guilty to go punished. Believe that you flourish in God's house because God's love is with you. It doesn't mean that the pain of evil will ever fully go away until the Lord returns. It often does linger. But the love of God will satisfy, even in your pain. God will bring you joy. Fifth, consider that the steadfast love of God produces thankfulness. I will thank you forever because you have done it. That's an amazing verse. Remember what Doeg has done. He lied about the priest. He murdered 85 men, women, and children for the sake of money and power. This is atrocious evil, and yet David is thankful. He's not thankful that the evil has taken place. Actually, he's quite upset about it. This verse isn't encouraging us to be thankful for evil itself. We don't have to put on a face and spiritualize evil deeds, making it seem as if the bad stuff that happened to us is a good thing. While God works all things for good, God does not think that all things that happen are good. God takes no joy in your suffering. God takes no joy when evil happens. David isn't thankful that Doeg killed all those people. But because of God's steadfast love, even in the midst of it, he can be thankful and praise God. Why? Because you have done it. What has God done? In David's mind, God has already brought Doeg to justice. Now someone will say, hold on just a minute. You said that Doeg didn't receive justice. Nothing bad happened to him. He got away. He got his money. He got his power. He got off scot-free. And it is true. Aside from these chapters in 1 Samuel and here in Psalm 52, Doeg is mentioned nowhere else in the Bible. Even when Doeg becomes king, we are given no indication that Doeg is brought to justice. From our perspective, Doeg got away with it. But that's not what David thought. I will thank you forever because you have done it. Here's what David is saying. God's love is so steadfast, so unchanging, that what He promised in love today is as good as done. People say there are two things you can count on in life, death and taxes. Well, according to Psalm 52, there's one more thing we need to add to the list. The steadfast love of God never changes. Beloved, if God's grace has brought you to faith in Jesus, then there is one thing in your life that is absolutely certain. God's love will never abandon you. And for those who've experienced evil, that means God will execute justice. And therefore, on account of the sure love of God, even in the midst of it, you can be thankful. There's always a reason to praise when God is walking with you through evil. In the midst of it, mourn it. Hate it. Know that God hates it with you. And then believe that His love is the answer to it. and praise Him for His steadfast love. Next, God teaches us here through David that God's love works in our waiting. Let me emphasize again, Doeg was never brought to justice. As far as we know, perhaps all of Doeg's days, were enjoyed with wealth that he'd earned through evil. It appears that David and the surviving priest Abiathar had to wait and wait and wait for God to bring His promise to fulfillment. How hard waiting can be. It's especially hard when the workers of evil appear to be let off the hook. It's hard to wait when the murderer is acquitted, when the abuser goes free. Waiting offends our sense of justice. It makes us feel as if evil has been sanctioned. Waiting can make the victims of evil feel unheard, uncared for, and unseen. I'm sure waiting wasn't always easy for David and Abiathar. I'm sure there were times when they saw Doeg driving down the road in his new Ferrari that waiting for justice seemed almost impossible. I'm sure there were times when they wondered if Doeg would really get what he deserved. But here in Psalm 52, the Lord declares that no matter how long we wait, that God will be with us in it. David says it doesn't matter how long he has to wait, he is going to wait on the Lord. And the word wait means hope. David declares that no matter how long it takes, he is going to hope in the Lord. And what was he going to hope in? He was going to hope in the name of God. In the ancient world, a name was intended to sum up who a person was. When David says he's going to hope in the name of God, it meant he was going to hope in all that God says He is, and all that God says He will do. In our waiting, God's love works to remind us that God is who He says He is. He will do what He says He will do. God will never change. And notice, and this is very important, the primary way David is going to wait is by being in the presence of the godly. Church, when you are waiting, you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need the fellowship of the body to help you remember to hope in God's love. That's one reason why we come together on Sunday mornings to worship. It's even a reason we greet each other on Sunday mornings. You need to know that the other people in here believe the same things that you do. That they believe that no matter how much evil is going on in your life, the love of God is walking with you. That's one reason why you need to be with your church family outside of Sunday morning. You need people who can walk with you through this. So if you're not part of one of our weekly Bible studies, I want to encourage you to join one. And if there's not one that fits your schedule, let me know. We want to start as many Bible studies as we need to help all of our people wait on the Lord. When you are waiting, hope in the love of God. There is one more truth that we need to see from this psalm. All morning, we have been talking about the evil that is done to us, how God's love is the answer to it. All morning, we've been talking about the evil of Doeg and the loves of his heart that led him to evil. We've talked about how David was like a green olive tree who lives forever protected by the love of God, while Doeg will be uprooted and destroyed. We've been discussing how the righteous will see and fear and laugh in the midst of evil. But beloved, as we close today, we need to consider that the same man who wrote Psalm 52 was the one who would a few years later write Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is that great psalm in which David confesses his horrible sins. Just a few years later, the disordered loves of David's heart would lead him to commit adultery and eventually murder. Church, we need to consider when we read Psalm 52 that David was just like Doeg. Evil ruled him. And church, we need to consider what the next Psalm, Psalm 53, says about all of us. There is no one who does good. There is no one who is righteous. Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to realize that there's a little bit of Doeg in all of us. Yes, like Doeg, we have loved evil more than good. False loves have ruled our hearts. I have been a purveyor of evil. I have sinned in order to advance my own agenda. And therefore, I deserve, you deserve to be broken down forever, to be snatched up, to be uprooted. We deserve to hear the laughter of the righteous. But church, I want to tell you this morning that the good news of the gospel is that God's love isn't just the answer to the evil that happens to you. God's love is the answer to the evil that is in you. God's steadfast, unchanging love is the answer to the evil of your heart. For in Jesus, we have the true and better David, whose heart never gave way to disordered loves. In Jesus, we have the true and better David, who was the olive tree in the house of the Lord. He was the only one who deserved to live forever with the Lord, for he alone is righteous. He alone deserves to experience the steadfast love of God. But here is the gospel. God showed us his great love in that while we were yet evil, Christ died for us. On the cross, God took Jesus, that righteous olive tree, and uprooted him from the land of the living. Jesus was broken down for evil men who love stuff more than God. Out of his great love for us, God made him evil who knew no evil, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The steadfast love of God has dealt with your evil in Jesus Christ. Here is how great the love of God is. Evil men get to go free this morning. You get to go free, not because God turned a blind eye to evil, but because all of God's justice was satisfied on the cross. There is no more debt for you to pay. There is nothing you, evil man, can do. Jesus has done it all for you. But the gospel just keeps on getting better. Not only are you free, O evil man, but God's love has given you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are counted righteous, not because we don't do evil, but because Jesus didn't do evil, and all of that righteousness is given to us. And because you are counted righteous in Jesus, even though we are evil men, we can rest assured that the steadfast love of God will endure all the day, even through our greatest evil. There's one more thing I need to say. We've just learned that David had much in common with Doeg, but they were different in one very important way. Doeg took refuge in his wealth. He kept on loving his money. David took refuge in the love of God. When David confessed his sins, what did he say? Psalm 51:1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. The only way you can enjoy the love of God. The only way you can be kept from being uprooted is to admit that at your core, you are an evil person, and then run to the love of God in Jesus. There is no getting around it. Evil people do evil things. But how good is it to know that when we have experienced evil, God's steadfast love endures? I don't know what evil you faced, but I know God's love is the answer. And what a relief to know that though we are evil at the core of our being, God's love provided the answer in Jesus Christ. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. Amen. Let's pray.